Wow. That was good.
Woo!
That was good. Let's see how part two goes. We had a pretty good men's breakfast yesterday. The food was good. But the presence of the Lord here with the guys was gooder. I talked about trials and tests. I talked about men becoming men and not being fearful of their past. The enemy would love nothing more than for your past to hold you captive. Am I on? Is it working at all? Just checking. Because the enemy wants to keep God's men, in particular, intimidated and bound up. And we talked about yesterday the things in our lives that we're probably not participating in them today, but we did one day, and the enemy has done his best to never let us forget about it. And if we don't deal with those kinds of things, they will overtake us and they will consume us. And we will explode internally. Amen? So we talked about those kinds of things. And when I got done with my part, then Bob stepped in and he began to relate what I was saying to a marathon race. How many of you know that you're not ready to go out and run a marathon? I want you to, as we go through this message this morning, my message title, by the way, is Gripped for a Lifetime. Gripped for a Lifetime. See, we find ourselves today living in a world that is full of hate and disunity. How many of you know that's pretty obvious? We live in a world where the bad guys seem to be winning and that the good guys seem to be losing. My words for you today are, do not lose hope. We are still on the winning side and the finish line is just around the corner. Father, I need your help. I need your anointing, God, to preach this word, so that we would leave this place looking for running shoes. Looking for some way to get in better shape than we are today. To figure out somehow, God, to get in the gymnasium of the Holy Ghost and prepare ourselves for the race. Now, God, I need your touch. I need your help to do this because there are people in this room right now that I believe are saying, I can't run that race. But you're saying, yes, you can. I can't run that far. Yes, you can. God, help us today, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, Paul the Apostle speaking to young Timothy, and he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul is telling young Timothy, listen, I have run this race. I have fought this fight. It is as if I'm being poured out. I've left it all on the field. Anybody ever watch Facing the Giants? Anybody seen that movie? That's a fantastic movie. My favorite part in that entire movie is when that coach gets that kid out on the football field and he says, I want you to do the, what is it, the monkey crawl or whatever it was? What was that? The bear crawl, whatever it was. And he says, for 20 yards, I want you to do this. And he had to do it with his buddy upside down on top of him. And he did it. And he starts going down the field and he's figuring it in his mind because he's already thinking about quitting. Listen to me. He's already formulating in his mind, I've only got to go this far. And the coach says, you're almost there, you're almost there, keep going. I can't go anymore. And the coach is right there saying, yes you can. And he keeps going and he finally says, you can stop, open your eyes. And he realizes that he's went 100 yards down the field. Because of the encouragement of a coach, and that kid left everything on the field. He said, I heard that it was said that the crisis of life reveals something that has been happening for a long time. You know what I've learned as a pastor? Someone's crisis that is their crisis right now didn't start typically right then. It started years ago. It started a while ago. In the case of AWOL Christians, you didn't know there were AWOL Christians, did you? In the case of AWOL or MIA, I heard that, right. Missing in action. Where'd they go? I don't know. They gone. That's all. I believe this is true. See, we tend to focus on the shock of the tire blowing out, but the reality is there was a lot of maintenance issues that preceded the flashing lights and the flares by the side of the highway. Amen? Somewhere much earlier on, they lost their longing for God. Remember, I'm talking about those AWOL Christians. They've allowed something more important than the presence of God to come in and fill that place. And God said what? I'll have no other gods before me. So somewhere they lost their longing for God. And I've got to confess this morning, the fear of following in their footprints sometimes haunts me. I'm just being very honest with you this morning. We talked about it, men, yesterday in our meeting. That there are things in my life, things in my past that the enemy would use against me and to dissuade me. You've got too much mess in your life to be the pastor, for crying out loud. Give it up. Sometimes the fear of following in their footsteps haunts me, and it probably does you as well. We don't want to crawl across the finish line a defeated, derailed Christian, or worse, give up the race before life is over, do we? No, we want to break the tape with arms held high and our face toward the sun and say with the Apostle Paul, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I don't want my body to be pristine, beautiful hair, all slim and trim. I want this thing to be a ragged mess when I crawl in the ground. I want somebody to say, now that guy left it all on the field right there. Amen? I think that's what God wants for us. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There have been times in the past that throwing in the towel looked pretty good. And even inviting, but to quit what God started seems to me to be a slap in the face of Almighty God. Church, you have to remind yourself, like I've had to remind myself, God knew me from before the foundations of the earth. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. And every time you've messed up, He didn't go, didn't see that coming. caught me completely off guard. What in the world? Peter, did you just see that? Your sin did not catch him off guard. Because God is love. It's not something that he does. It's who he is. And he loved you before the foundations of the earth. And he loved you and gave his life on the cross while you were still his enemy. Paul viewed his life as an offering being poured out before God. Paul used the same comparison in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, where he wrote this: even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming for your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Listen, if you're going through hell, rejoice. If the devil's coming after you, slapping you around, thank God for it, because at least you're a threat enough to him that he's doing something to try and stop you. I'm singing. Do you understand me? We view these things completely wrong. We're like, oh, the devil's just beating me up bad. God doesn't care about me. All this and that. No. You're thinking, that's stinking thinking. You need to change that around. Say, hey, I must be a threat to the powers of hell because they are messing with me. You know what? The thing about a sleeping dog, if you just leave him alone, you probably ain't going to get bit. The devil hates you, and he hates me, and he wants to do everything he can to stop us. Paul is comparing his experience of sacrifice to that of the priest that poured out the drink offering that he talked about back in Numbers chapter 15. And it was possible that Paul's trial that he was on trial for would in fact go against him and he would be executed. But it did not rob Paul of his joy. I got an interesting text message this week from a young man, and he said, "Are you still happy?" And I knew what he was talking about, and it wasn't happiness. He was wondering if I was still happy with my job, because if I wasn't, he'd like to have it. I'm just telling you that that's what he said. And I said, "Yeah, I'm happy. Are you?" And he said, "That's a loaded question." And I said, "Yes, it is, because happiness comes from stuff, but joy comes from inside." I thought I'd just use that as opportunity to preach just a little to it. See, it's possible. Paul didn't, the fact that, you know, when you're facing being executed, that might be a bummer. Paul's like, hey, absent from the body, present with the Lord, glory to God. That was his attitude. That was his attitude. We're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Paul's like, no, I'm full of joy. His death would be a willing sacrifice, a priestly ministry on behalf of Christ and his church, and it would give him joy. God works in us through the word, through prayer, and through suffering, and we work out in daily living and sacrifice. Listen, we got to live our life for him every day, not just Sunday. Y'all ought to be having worship services at your house. Driving down the road in your car. Amen. Sing a little louder. Listen, God fulfills his purpose.